Welcome to the Bible Unbound, Ancient Mysteries of the Scriptures Explored. I'm your host, Jim, and we're currently working our way through the Book of Revelation, and we are at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Verse 7 reads, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." So what we have, obviously, here in chapter 1 and verse 7 is an introduction to the theme of Judgment Day, or of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the first of seven scenes of Judgment Day that show up throughout the course of the book of Revelation. And what's interesting is they're introduced and then they increase in their clarity and in their intensity throughout the book of Revelation. So this chapter 1 and verse 7 is just kind of like a poke hole, as through a fence, you're watching a parade go by, a parade of judgment. It's not very detailed. It's only an introduction. Behold, he is coming. With the clouds, every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. So that's the introductory of the first scene of judgment that we have in the book of Revelation. What about the second and the rest of them? Well, let's take a look at the subsequent portrayals of the judgment day within the book of Revelation. The second would be seen in the second section, which is the section describing Christ and the seven seals. That's chapter 4 through 7. Now the final judgment is introduced with a glimpse of the horror which fills the wicked. That's found in Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. Listen to these words. "The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" Again, a very clear description of Judgment Day and of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, how about in the third section? Christ and the seven trumpets, that's chapters 8 through 11. Well, once again, we read a similar scene in chapter 11, verse 15 through 18. I'll not read the entirety of these verses, just a portion. We read in verse 15, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet," and then verse 18, "the nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and the saints." In these three sections, it's Christ in the midst of the church, Christ and the seven seals, Christ and the seven trumpets. This comprises the first main section or main division within the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 11. But we don't come across anything more than these basic terms that we have just read in terms of the second coming or the day of judgment. But as soon as we enter into the second main division of the book, that would be chapters 12 through 22, well, in the first one of those post-chapter 12 divisions, that is, Christ and the persecuting dragon, which is introduced for us in chapter 12 and then continues on through chapters 13 and 14, in that section, it seems like the final judgment goes full IMAX. And if you've been following our podcast up to now, you know what I mean by IMAX. Imagine yourself sitting back in a theater surrounded by a gigantic screen, say seven stories tall. That's the one that's in Leonberg, Germany. Imagine if that's where you were watching these scenes unfold. You would see this unfolding in chapter 14, verse 14, John says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man." So we're getting very, very detailed. Goes on to describe him. He has a golden crown on his head, a sharp sickle in his hand. Verse 16, "So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped." Verse 19, "So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia." The next vision, the fifth vision, chapters 15 and 16, which is Christ and the seven bowls of wrath, describe something that's very horrendous in chapter 16 and verse 14. Here it includes other players that inaugurate, so to speak, the judgment day or the final return of Christ. It says, verse 14 of chapter 16, "For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle." When? "On the great day of God the Almighty." That's judgment day language. Very clear. So likewise, in the sixth division, which would describe what we call the fall of Babylon, that's chapters 17, 18, and 19. We read this about judgment day in Revelation 19, verse 11. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself." Well, that brings us to the seventh, or the final section, which is Christ and the great consummation. And by the time we get to this section, all symbolism is dropped. It's gone. You have this bursting Judgment Day IMAX theater in front of you, portrayed as if on a heavenly IMAX. But it's as if, imagine this, just try to put yourself into this scene. It's as if the IMAX, where you're watching these things unfold, has suddenly loosed from its moorings. And now it begins to elevate, and it begins to move like a giant ship, like a giant vessel. And suspended you are. You not only see, but you feel yourself also being drawn into another dimension, the dimension of Judgment Day. And you are there, a mass of elevated awareness, hyper-aware, awake to everything. Every cell of your spiritual life is now pulsating at a pace it's never been, as you watch, gazing, and even feeling the solemnity of the most sobering day in human history. We read chapter 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Every criminal who thought he got away with his crime is there. Every statist monster, from Joseph Stalin to Hitler to Pol Pot to Mao Zedong to Bill Gates, every loathsome pedophile and child abuser, deeds done in the dark of night, blaze before God's IMAX, every hard-hearted atheist who refused and, like Stalin, shook his fist into the heavens against God. Every apostate who traded off Christ for the sake of compromise to popularity, tolerance, the spirit of the age. Finally, the black hole of outer darkness, called the lake of fire, was there, and you could almost feel like it's a black hole. You could feel the event horizon. The closer you get, you feel like you're being sucked into the vortex. The dead, great and small, the sea gave up the dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead. Every grave everywhere on the planet, death and Hades then itself, was thrown into the lake of fire. And then finally, verse 10, and the devil who had deceived them was then thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Reminding us of the words of David in Psalm 21, verse 9, you will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. Then, just as instantly, we who remain standing in that great day are suddenly swept into a massive banquet hall. Here again, let the IMAX come before you, the banquet hall of God. There's the bride. There's the Lamb. There's the throne. Spirit of God. And we are invited to the table. In closing, let me quote just a few words from that great hymn, In Emmanuel's Land. It reads as follows. The King there in his beauty without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though seven deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army doth on Mount Zion stand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Well, thank you for joining with us for this podcast moment. We'll pick this up again next week and begin to look at John's great vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. In the meantime, have a blessed day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.